Welcome to the Newlyn Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast, hosted by me, Kate Thomas. This podcast is packed with practical tips and expert views to unlock the leadership effectiveness in you and your organization. My name is Kate Thomas, and I'm a leadership effectiveness expert and the founder of Newlyn Rock, a consultancy dedicated to focusing on increasing leadership effectiveness for talent-savvy companies and individuals. In this podcast, I will share my experience of supercharging leadership performance and business results with you. Join me and the best thought leaders for topical discussions and talent-centric insights. Welcome to this episode of the Leadership Effectiveness Podcast. And today I am joined by Liz Elms. With 15 years in global consulting and a career that started in military intelligence, Liz brings unique expertise, insights and empathy to people who are working through complex environments under pressure. She decided to set up her own consulting business in 2020, Elm Leading Enterprises, and she has supported people and teams achieve their ambitions. You'll find Liz working with top teams to deliver growth through improved leadership and culture change. She focuses a lot of her time with business-winning teams through creating customer-centric operating models. Assessment and development with executives across Europe, the US, the Middle East, and she also facilitates the odd leadership development program. Trying to find balance, she says, juggling a career, a busy family life, and her kids tell her she's a better mum when she gets out running with her dog. So welcome to the show, Liz. Thank you very much for joining us. Liz, I'm so pleased that we found some time to catch up and welcome to the Leadership Effectiveness Podcast.
Thanks. Do you know what a good way to start the week is doing something I've never done before? So yeah, I listen to podcasts all the time when I'm out running or walking the dog or whatever, but never actually recorded one. So good. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, I must say, lucky me, if that's the case, that this is your first and that you are gifting me with that opportunity, especially as I know we've worked together for several years. So I know how much wisdom and knowledge is there for you to share. So even if I can just get a bit of that in today's conversation, I will be most grateful. We're quite specific today, bringing this topic around assessment and a space that you and I have consulted in. I position us both as deep experts in this space, both from a client and if you are a participant or we say candidate experience in an assessment. You know, we've got a lot to share on this topic. So I am so pleased that you have found the time to be able to share your wisdom with our audience and give us your tips and watch outs as well.
And there are a couple of those, yeah. And do you know, I was in preparation just sort of looking at where I've had the privilege of doing assessments, and I've worked with people all over the world at all different levels in organizations as part of an assessment process, and it's just a really sort of blessed insight into people. So yeah, I hold that this piece of work that we do as sort of dear in my heart, and you do have to do it with great care. And like we said, you know, great training, years of experience. So very happy to bring that to bear as I can today.
I think that's such an important part that you've just brought into this conversation straight away, that there's a duty of care, isn't there, with respect to how an assessment process is managed. And as you say, you are taking the time with an individual at various stages of their career. And depending on how the assessment is structured, we can go deep. So we are privy to a huge amount of insight into
that person as well as that organization. And when the two meet, I actually sometimes get goosebumps just purely being able to see the beauty of the two, that alignment that shows up when you're able to really tap into the person and understand what's going on in an organization and help the two figure that out together sometimes as well.
Oh, for sure. Because it is a two-way decision, right? If you're hiring, let's look at assessment for selection. That fit works both ways. It's a big responsibility, isn't it, when you're working with someone to really get under the surface and see if the fit is right. And I think, you know, we are sort of heavily trained in terms of not bringing any bias into our process, making sure that we are objectively matching the evidence that we find in our assessment process to the requirements of the organization. And that sort of balance is really important. And I think we have to meet, you know, a cultural fit, a role fit, a fit with a person's boss is often really important, isn't it? And it's just so interesting. You know, jobs are so fluid nowadays. Organizations are complex. The world is moving at pace that we do need to go below the surface. You know, we're no longer asking the question, you know, can you do skill XYZ? You know, that's a CV that gets you in the door to sort of begin an assessment process. But we really want to go below the surface to offer the organization and the individual much more of an insight into how they're going to fit a role, or in a development context, how they can improve to meet their own, you know, objectives in terms of what they want to achieve and what the business is asking for them.
There is just so much there. And I think even with that way of shaping our conversation today, that our listeners are going to realize that, you know, assessment, that there's quite a bit to it. So maybe for the structure of how we might have this discussion, I'd love for us to be able to give as much hints, tips, expertise to give viewers, listeners, just that bit more. And maybe I can kick it off and ask, my area of expertise and what I focus on now within Newland Rock's remit and what it is that we strive for is to really boost the leadership effectiveness in organizations. Mm-hmm. And so if I just, you know, leadership effectiveness, why is assessment important in your perspective when an organization is driving leadership effectiveness in their business?
So great, is the important place to start, isn't it? And I think people are key to everything that businesses do, aren't they? You know, it's nothing, no one works in a vacuum. And, you know, organizations are changing. We often get called in when an organization is pivoting, don't we? Or they're not making money, there's stuff to fix, there are challenges. Or even, you know, on an individual level, things are sort of maybe not gelling or working as they should. And leaders are key to an organization's performance. You know, everything is done through people. And when we look at doing an exercise in terms of leadership effectiveness, what we're trying to get is to not only look at individuals and actually work out how they're not meeting the organizational sort of demand, but also it makes people happier to be doing a good job, doesn't it? So I always look through this. Yes, sometimes we can do these quite pointy exercises and it's quite crunchy stuff, you know, we can come out with some hard-hitting messages, but ultimately we're holding a mirror up to help people do better, be better, perform better, be happier in work. And that's, you know, that's what drives me. And as I said, you know, like, roles are complex, organizations are complex. The virtual world means often we don't get an insight into people in the office because we're not seeing them every day anymore. And assessment allows us to sort of dig below the surface level of leaders and really help them understand more about themselves and do better in their roles. And you know, Kate, like when we have conversations, we do a lot of work in sort of, you know, technical organizations where leaders have been promoted because they are fantastic at the job, the day job, but they get promoted out of the stuff that they love and have traditionally been good at. And you hit this sort of leadership level. And I don't think people do enough thinking organizationally, as well as on an individual basis, around what is the leader bit of the job that you're doing.
Oh, yeah. That lovely moment in our career where maybe our motivation, and if we can go into that motive profile of who we are and what makes us tick, that arousal of, yes, I've got this moment to be promoted and I love the sound of being a leader, but actually, is what brings me joy, is what I'm good at. How do I approach this role of leader? And FYI, a lot of what I've been doing that has got me here, I'm going to have to start doing less of that and more of stuff that I'm not even 100% sure what that is. So yep. It's a massive transition. And I've experienced so much where assessment becomes such a helping hand to any leader who is either thinking about, well, any individual who's thinking about going into leadership, or an organization is promoting somebody into that space, giving them the insights into where they're at right now and what it is they need to do to stretch to get there. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I've definitely been in those assessments and in that sort of debrief coaching conversation where some individuals get that moment of realization and question whether that leadership step is actually what they want.
Yeah. And I think extrapolating that to an organizational level, the realization that has come out of that is we have a bunch of people who we think are technical leaders, and then a separate lot of people who are the broader, more general leaders, and they are different things. And it's all about aligning you to where you fit and what's going to motivate you. And I think that's why I'm really keen to dispel the myth that leadership assessment is just a scary place. You know, the benefit that people get when you move from the original conversation into those coaching conversations to sustain the impact of the exercise that you've undergone, you know, that an organization has paid for. If we talk money, you know, you get that development, you get tips, you get strengths that you can make even better. You get things that maybe there are gaps and you might want to focus on as well. You get onboarding advice. You can look at the composite data, you know, roll up all the data and get the themes from a cohort of people that can make all the difference in organizations. You can decrease the risk of hiring new people or promoting people because you're working with really, really good data. And I think, you know, it's done really well. Leadership assessment is plus, 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 you know, is value add, is hugely beneficial to individuals and organizations. The one thing I will say, though, I think it's communication is fundamental to getting it right. When I've seen leadership assessment not be seen as a massive positive, a plus in the organization, it's when almost on that continuum of assessment, you're not clear where you're starting from. So you've got one end, pure development assessment, entirely confidential, a really safe space. You know, really what we're doing is just looking at you and we'll give you advice on you know, XYZ that we see in terms of where you want to go and what you can do better and where your energy is, all the way through to the pointy end of assessment on a sort of selection side, which is much more about, you know, will you fit this or not? Are you going to have a job tomorrow or not? And I think that's not the fun stuff for me, but it's an important, you know, job to do sometimes, but you have to be clear. And I think sometimes that's not always been the case, or organizations are sort of fudging it. where you're like, well, this is a development process for all this group of people. However, we will look at the results when we're going to do a bit of a review of who's who in the, you know, the next round of changes. And you just think, well, that's not on. You know, we have to be clear. We have to be honest with people. Otherwise, they're not going to step into that space and be open and clear with us.
I think you've, I had a question I was preparing, obviously, before we go into talk. And I had this question in my mind thinking I was going to ask you, Liz, about the good, the bad and the ugly when it comes to organisations incorporating assessment as part of their talent strategy. And you've gone into that ugly space, maybe the bad version of the ugly, without me even needing to ask. But you've brought something so powerful and important to this conversation, starting with communication, but then moving us into this space of how the organization uses this data. And I think if I add to that communication, there's also that internal duty of care, back to that duty of care, but that internal duty of care, that internal communication around even who gets to see this set of data, who owns it, who shares it, what are we actually doing with it? Because if we're not all educated, and I mean that politely, we can actually end up looking at a report and seeing some numbers and not really understanding exactly what sits behind it. So how have you supported organizations with setting them up for success so they avoid the ugly and in fact it becomes this really powerful and positive experience that businesses actually learn to leverage and do great things from? What's happened there for you in your advisory work?
So one example, just to, because it comes to mind as you've just sort of gone through the sort of not understanding the data correctly, that has brought to life. So an example where I was on the point of saying no to an organization in terms of a piece of work because there wasn't that knowledge within the business. And I thought, well, no, I'm going to work with these guys. If they're prepared to put the money and the time into an assessment process, let's just carve a bit of that out and do a comms campaign. And what they were really struggling with was it was this fantastic global organization, and I love working with them, and they'd created this kind of new way of looking at psychometrics as part of an assessment process. So this was a level in the organization where volume was high. You know, they get 100 people in and hire half of them, and they were using a combination of psychometrics from different organizations and integrating them into a report, which was totally aligned with their operating model and basically the business language that worked for them. So it was a fantastic piece of work. My challenge, though, was that as part of that assessment process, some people were, I could hear in the organization as I talk to people that, oh, well, you fail or pass the assessment in terms of that stage. You fail the psychometrics. And these included personality psychometrics. There was some sort of cognitive assessment in there as well. But it was a multi sort of tool look spliced together into an integrated report. And I was like, you don't fail a personality test, you know, we had to run a big campaign to ensure that people understood the full end-to-end assessment process, which included technical interviews with line managers, behavioral interviews in order to assess, using the data from the psychometrics, whether you overcome those gaps and you dial things up and dial things back in order to perform at work. I think it's really important just that we don't look at, you know, one piece of data in isolation, first thing, but that the line managers or hiring managers or people who are developing others really understand what we're trying to achieve and how to use the data well and for the purpose that it's intended. And that gave me great comfort in this example to work through that communication strategy with the team, so that this really cool integrated psychometric report was used in conjunction with technical interviews, behavioral interviews, CV assessments, all sorts of things to give a full picture against the requirements in the business.
And as I'm hearing this example, there's a couple of things coming into my mind. And I believe that anybody leading a talent strategy campaign in an organization is looking to do the best they can by their people. And what I think can sometimes cause some challenges is that old school phrase, you don't know what you don't know. And if you can end up in situations where you're making some assumptions, you might not necessarily have seen something or run something of this type of scale before. And equally, you might not internally have a brainstorming partner just to talk it through and get the right approach. So I think where I'm going with this is that any size organization can benefit a huge amount from introduce an assessment into their organization, but don't feel as though you have to do it in isolation. Be educated. Lean on experts to educate you and help you create a bit of a project plan, as well as you say, that very important communication plan, so that you're not running blind and making those types of mistakes that can really cost you. Because if you run it in the future, people tend to not forget.
Yes.
If they've been stung by a process in the past.
We all feel things so much more if they're painful or negative, don't we? And it stays with us. And that organizational memory can be a real challenge to overcome. I remember working with an organization and they had suffered from a massive downsizing, to quote other people, not done very well. And, you know, there's always pressure on money and time and doing things quickly to rip the Band-Aid off as fast as you possibly can, which is, and you're right, people are doing this with the best of intentions. But it's so important to, you know, we want to treat people with respect, and we do want to do a good job and do right by people. And that may mean letting people go, but in a fair way, in a robust way. And this organization that had suffered from this once, I do a lot of work in business winning. And I was through a sort of in my second or third sprint with my colleague, where we were looking at, you know, sales strategy, the pipeline. I was looking at the culture in the business and leadership. And you'd built a lot of trust with individuals, saying, you know, this is not about you, but please give me the warts and all so that I can actually do this health check on the business winning capability of the organization. And we were 2 weeks away from creating a roadmap. And we'd heard about these, you know, downsizing and the pain. And this was an organization sort of coming through a bit of a dark patch. And just before we were presenting our final roadmap, which I have to say didn't include letting anyone go, we'd been impressed by the people we'd seen, but hadn't done a leadership assessment, you know, review, because it wasn't part of this. And then we got told by the client, well, we need to start firing people. We've got no more money. And you're just like, okay, what do you do? You know, and our conversation was, we cannot abuse the trust of these individuals that we've you know, taken in and done strategy, win strategy workshops and one-to-one conversations about the business and all sorts. You know, we can't abuse that, but we want to help. And if we weren't going to do it, I dug into the sort of criteria that was going to be used to assess this swathe of leaders. And it was like, you know, it just wasn't good enough, quite frankly. You know, it was, what are your qualifications? Well, okay, that doesn't matter for that level. You know, it was, everyone was highly qualified. Your length of service, well, don't know what that's meant to tell you. And then your performance indicators. And in our previous interviews, we'd had time and again been told performance isn't rated well, it's not fair, it's not calibrated, there's favorites, you know. And so we had to step into that you know, place of saying, well, we can help you and we will, because we will run a process that is robust, objective. My colleague and I weren't going to do it, but we found the right people to come in and run a quick and fair process linked to the new ask, because also performance is backward looking, isn't it? You know, it's like what you've been doing for 10 years in the past isn't necessarily where this organization was wanting to take, you know, the ask in terms of new behaviors that they wanted. So we ran a really good process. And actually, I met someone the other day who had been part of that process and had said, you know, it was done well. No one now talks about it like they did the previous downsizing, because it felt fair. And that is so important. And you get the right people. And I think one or two who, because we'd offered coaching as part of this process afterwards, one or two, the information coming back to me from the assessors that I'd invited to do this exercise, the comment that was coming back from people who weren't successful in finding roles was, I don't think I'm the right fit for what's going to have to happen. I haven't got it in me for that energy or the right skills that are being required of me, and I'm out, you know, fair enough. And it was not a fun piece of work. That is the bad bit of the job in leadership assessment. But boy, do you want to do it right.
I think that is such an important one, meaning that there is always going to be that need that you think, oh, you don't want to end up at the end of a project knowing that there will be a proportion of individuals without a role. But I absolutely love what you flagged when you had certain individuals go through a process and realize at the end of that process where the organization was going, its future state, for whatever reason, was not going to suit them anymore. And therefore, there is that awareness, because what I've experienced in the leadership assessment work that we do, that the conversation, the way that we approach that assessment, because it isn't a typical assessment, that the way we frame it and our angles and the science we put into it, we often find, don't we, Liz, that leaders come away from those conversations with this aha moment and this deeper sense of what it is that actually does make them tick, because they have been so flat out and so busy in their work. They haven't really taken a moment to sit back and go, okay, how did I get here? And what is it that I've been doing well? And what is it that I've been that I've forgotten about? You know, so much comes up, doesn't it, in the style of assessment work that we introduce at a leadership level.
Yeah, and we, you know, you sometimes ask CEOs or execs for a 3-hour slot in their diary to do a behavioral event interview, don't you? And people, that astounds people, for individuals at that level to give that time. And I haven't once had an interview, having done probably thousands of those. You know, I've never once had an individual come out of one of those without saying, gosh, that went fast. And what a good exercise to do, to go through when you're at your best, you know, and when challenges have arisen and you've overcome them. What did you do? What did you think? What happened in that moment? And just so you can get that insight. And that's even before you've integrated other data points or looked at, you know, what the organization's asking in terms of the future role or the whatever the demands are that you're assessing against. But just that exercise, that time to go through things. And that's what I love, you know, that's the real privilege position that we hold, is we get that confidential insight and conversation with someone where we can just work, give them time to talk about and reflect on their career transitions, their you know, their performance and dealing with events in their past that have either been successful or not, and what they've learned from that. But we come out with such insight, I think, into the behaviours that they have, that it really offers such a benefit to people when we, you know, come out with the development suggestions and insights from that process.
Really helping leaders, whether they're going through transition or they're already in that role and they're thinking about how they maximize their impact, which is a space I talk about an awful lot. We're giving them the evidence of what it is that they are doing, how that's working out for them. And we get the benefit then of that coaching dialogue on what it is that they might want to think about next. So an all-rounded approach to really helping individuals maximize how effective they are in the work that they're doing, but ultimately feel fulfilled. And as you started with, happy.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the joy of you know, our job, but also that's everyone. Gosh, we work so much, don't we? You know, so much of your life is working. Let's get people into the right place, into what they really get energized by, and help them do even better at that. And I think sometimes, you know, there have been surprises I've been surprised very often when I've interviewed someone and just been delighted that it's gone in a different way than maybe their first impression. And, you know, that's great data. And I was actually thinking of an example. So last week I was doing some work with a client in the Middle East, and I interviewed two people who have the role title general manager. And, you know, effectively the ask is run your part of the business. You know, same, you could effectively write a job description that kind of says the same thing, right? And these two individuals couldn't have been more different. And both were inspiring, and it was a pleasure talking to both of them. And one was, you know, had been a carpenter long time ago, and was a, you know, through that had a trait of perfectionism, but was a real turnaround individual, turnaround leader, you know, very high standards, a lot of drive, massive commitment and work ethic, and, you know, could zoom in and zoom out, could do the big picture strategy stuff and then be in, you know, the detail or in the yard walking the floors kind of thing. Leading a business, just as general manager number two, who was had been working in kitchens in Egypt and had studied and moved across to UAE and had opportunities, but basically had effectively always pushed and driven himself in terms of extra study. He was so collaborative. He had sort of asked to be and visit different parts of the organization so he could learn more and do better. He would take ideas from people and build them up, and even if they were different to the way he thought the business should be going, he would sponsor ideas at the grassroots level because he knew that they've brilliant ideas, but also the value that placed on people in terms of, you know, sort of seeing the kernel of something they had grow and be blessed and used by the leader. Couldn't get, you know, two more different people. And on paper, you're kind of saying, well, I just want a general manager. And so it's all about really understanding who these people are, which was just wonderful to spend the time with them. But also then you look at, well, general manager A versus general manager B, what do you need? Because businesses are different and the jobs are different from just what's on the paper. And I suppose that's what we do, isn't it? Is we don't just go on, you know, one piece of paper, one ask. We dig in terms of what's the exam question and what is the organization really looking for the future? And then we dig on the person, you know, more than a CV. What is it that makes you tick, that's going to make you motivated? Who are you? You know, what's your traits? What are you working really hard at doing, dialing up? And putting that all together is, like you said, it can give you goosebumps because it's just, oh, it's just cool, isn't it, to be able to do that for people.
And I think in that example, what you've illustrated so beautifully is that there is no pass or fail. to that mm-hmm. earlier point in our discussion, there is no right or wrong. It's very much around how it is that you do what you do, why it is that you do what you do, and how does that then fit what it is that the organization is needing now and where it's going in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to fix a business? Do you want to inspire people and move it to the future? You know, they're two different questions and require two different leaders, perhaps.
And so it kind of builds for me, you know, when we then think about our time with organizations, when we are in that early phases of helping them craft what might be an assessment process, what it is that they need out of this process. I fundamentally believe that irrespective what size your business is, incorporating an assessment process directly links to how well you achieve on your strategic goals. I see the two as 100% linked in the work mm-hmm. that I do. What's your take on, one, the connection between incorporating assessment and achieving your strategy? And then maybe two, if you do take on assessment as a business, how can you leverage it more so it really does talk to your business strategy and isn't just a HR initiative that sits in the talent space?
Yeah, I'm you can't see me, I'm nodding along with exactly what you're saying, because I think the where I've seen things work really well and at its best is where the business and HR are the same thing, you know, and I think it's absolutely fundamentally important that there's that collaboration right from the start in terms of that joint thinking. We have our strategic objectives, we have our people that will make our strategic objectives a reality. Well, that is the combination we need, right? And that's where HR mustn't just be this adjunct, this function that sits separately and, you know, it's no longer the hiring, firing place, but it needs to be symbiotic in terms of how we're getting our people to deliver what we need to do. And I think that takes time, and that takes HR or your chief people officer, and others in the talent space to be invited into the conversation or push into the conversation. You know, let's talk about being a bit more assertive, perhaps, and really understand and not be afraid of business metrics. You know, and it is hard to get to get the return on investment outlined. You know, it's not easily traceable. It is in a hiring perspective, right? You know, we've got search costs, we've got the risk of new people coming into an organization, that you need to mitigate those two things by really understanding people and having a fantastic process to assess whether they're going to succeed or fail. But I think, you know, you really need as someone leading an assessment process to understand strategy and the business objectives for the business. You know, is that business transforming? Therefore, do we need change agents? Do we need people with vision? Is there a digital agenda? What critical roles? You know, we're going into a bit of sort of organizational development here as well, but nothing is separate, right? You know, do we need critical roles that are going to bring in the digital innovation? Well, therefore, let's look very specifically at hiring and assessing for those critical roles. You know, and I think I'm talking very much from sort of personal preference as well. I've shied away from the business conversation. You know, I love people. I love behaviors. I love saying that, but we need to be data driven, not afraid of the business conversation. I mean, I did economics at uni, and I shouldn't be afraid of numbers. I'm okay at maths, but it's just not been my world. And now it is my world because I see that we have to tie strategic objectives in.
Organizations, when they really understand the power of assessments, can actually start to track how well they are set up to achieve their strategic goals. And I've often said in meetings, you can have as shiny a strategy document as you like, You could have spent however many hours, days, weeks planning it and have consulted with the top strategy houses available. If you don't have people in your organization to get you there, it will just look shiny, but never see its potential. And assessment is a way to really bring that confidence of what it is that you've got in your house, and equally the understanding of what it is that you need to go and get. And that's okay too. You get a line of sight of whether what we can build and what we need to build and why we need to build it and what we need to go and buy in terms of fresh talent to come into our business. Both sets of insights make that strategy happen.
Absolutely. And is that decoding what we want is lifting that strategy into something that might actually happen, and then we go off and find it. Either we find it from these wonderful, you know, our wonderful talent in the business, or we identify the one or two critical areas that we have gaps, and we really want to buy it in. And it's just, it's such a fundamental communication tool as well. You know, we've got on paper the key desires in terms of behaviors of our future organization. You know, that's so important to really understand. And if you're doing assessments for, you know, groups of people, you get amazing data as well, don't you? If you run composites to actually see where you need to then plug in your leadership development efforts. So you've got the themes of what this business unit is doing really well, which matches what the future need is, or not, and then, you know, what do we need to run in terms of support for individuals from a you know, broader perspective, not just on an individual one-to-one in coaching. And I think, you know, and the buy-in, I suppose the other thing I want to, you know, the buy-in from the top is also critical. We need, I have worked on assessment programs where the conversations with individuals are, yes, we get this on paper, but I look up and I'm not quite seeing that from the top team, perhaps. And I think that's a challenge. But what we need to do is start to have that conversation, because if you don't know what good looks like, how can you drive towards that as an organization? So we need to decode what the organization wants from its leaders, and then exploit all avenues in order to achieve that.
And I think that point also with regards to the insights, how it feeds your other talent strategy initiatives. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that you can read about what great leadership looks like. There's wonderful papers at our fingertips all the time telling us what are the must-have, if you want to use the word, competencies, what are the traits that are really, you know, showing up as being critical for, you know, the next 5 years, all of that good stuff, all very relevant. But until you know what's going on in your own house, you can end up spending quite a lot of money designing development initiatives that actually don't talk directly to the needs of your talent. Mm-hmm. So it may tick the box to say, yes, we're focusing on building our empathy and trust, for example, but actually do your leaders need that right now? They may be demonstrating some great skills about empathy and building trust, and they may actually benefit far more from elevating their presence and communicating the strategy through, you know, driving a vision. So I often find that for me, really pulling all the data into various different directions pretty much touches so many aspects of a whole talent strategy that you can spread the cost of maybe what one part of an assessment process might be to help you answer the questions across other pretty important areas to focus on.
Agreed. Nothing exists in isolation, does it? And, you know, you can totally see a leadership development avenue in terms of links with assessment and what you really want to work on in an organization. Culturally, you can look at what your leaders need to be driving and who's doing that really, really well, and setting up the sort of individual team climates that make up our culture. You can look at, from an organizational development side of things, you know, what are we going out and structuring our business as, and what are we hiring for, and you know, what kind of roles are critical in that. All of it drives a successful strategy done well. And I think when you're with mergers and acquisitions as well, so often I have conversations, often, you know, like a year or two after businesses have either have been brought together or brought into larger entities. And millions have been spent on the due diligence required financially, and a lot of people perhaps have merged roles and let some people go, and there's a lot of, not grief in the organization, there's a lot of angst because some people have left and nothing's quite working the way it should do, and that now we've suddenly got interest in, well, how do we do this well. And often the leadership assessment process hasn't been run in the way it perhaps should have been done, and so what you're dealing with then is cultural change, you know, and trying to get people to lift their heads up and deal with where to go next and how to make the best of the new landscape. If it had been done in a slightly different way, and if people had you know, worked on the people side of things earlier, a lot of that wouldn't be necessary, and you'd have the financial and strategic impact from the merger that you desired sooner.
But that's the case, isn't it? The sooner, because that's but people, well, you know, we've got our own minds, we've got our own desires, we've got our own thoughts, we are who we are, and we are impacted by the environment that we're in. And so the sooner we can understand our people and whatever the situation is for our organization, the better. To me, it's the strongest data point to organizational success, unless you have a product that requires nothing to do with anyone. Is that possible? Don't think so, but maybe.
I'm not sure. I don't know. There'd be something somewhere where we have to work with others. There was one organization which I came into, and it really surprised me. And it was a big brand, and just really cool organization. And visiting them, it was multicultural, it was vibrant, creative, lots of literally color in the organization, in the offices. There was a nail bar. I mean, it was all this. It was fab. I was brought in to help on an assessment piece, and I was like, okay, so what are you looking for? The conversation came around to, we need to increase diversity. And I was like, huh, you know, that pretty sort of diverse group that I have seen in and, you know, that we're talking to now. And they said, oh no, well, it's cognitive diversity. What we want is not so many extroverts, not so many creatives. We are not getting anything done. We aren't listening to each other. We don't, you know, and so it was all that, you know, our greatest strengths can trip us up, can't they? So they had hired people in aligned with the values of the organization. However, they recognized a gap. And so not only did we create a process that was, you know, looking at those who are maybe more down to earth, that are more process orientated, the reflectors perhaps, and just use some, you know, diagnostics as part of the assessment process to sort of help pinpoint that. What actually happened was we had to then look at culture, because even, you know, it's not just one, the end of the problem, we'll hire some people in. Well, who's going to listen? How are we creating the situations where these people can be successful in the organization? Because we now have to make people much more aware about dealing with all different types of people and everyone learning and operating in different ways. And of course, there was, you know, a desire to create that safe space for everyone to do their best. But they hadn't really at the time thought through organizationally what that meant. So it's fascinating. It's just, it gives you so many insights, and you don't always know what you're going to come up with when you start a process. I've been wonderfully surprised on many occasions.
You're talking to that nice little quote that I use, that Forrest Gump movie, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Assessment is like a box of chocolates, because you never know what it is that you're going to hear. Client mm-hmm. side or individual yeah. candidate side.
I love it.
It will also lead yeah. you somewhere else.
It will. And you can't judge a book by its cover. I mean, that's assessment, isn't it? You know, don't judge a book by its cover. Whatever you think of someone's CV or when they first walk in, we're trained, aren't we, to not let our biases go and run away with ourselves, or not let our first impressions run away with ourselves, or not think something about someone and reinforce it in everything we hear. And, you know, we have to be really open and unbiased in everything we do. I talked to a guy last week, and he presented quite rightly as a really sort of very casual, very creative type. Let's go there. Cloud evangelist LinkedIn profile, right? It's brilliant, really cool. And yeah, he had this fab podcast where he sort of, you know, the one I listened to was about, you know, are we all living in a simulation? And that took me back to like philosophy on brains in vats and, you know, are we really here? It was cool, really cool. But that, you know, yes, tick. Ideas, tick passion, tick tech whiz, you know, you've got all of that, and that's all over the CV, right? But then you sort of dig in more, don't you? And you're like, oh, okay. So then there's real, you know, we talked about the market. And so he's got this, you know, really good appreciation of the market, and he joins the dots in terms of where there are gaps in society. Ah, well, we've got values. You know, what can I do or create that makes a difference? Well, that's brilliant. And then he started talking about massive transformations he's led in organizations where, you know, I can hear him talking about exploiting complex living and surviving and understanding complex organizational structures, running the hard yards of a change program, being able to tolerate a massive amount of ambiguity, but doing the delivery as well. And you're like, God, did not see that from the first, you know, 5 minutes of a conversation with this guy. And that's what's great, you know. You just give enough time to allow someone to just show you more of themselves, and it's fascinating.
Really is fascinating, and I think maybe on that point, Liz, we should do and have another discussion. Just thinking about how organizations set themselves up with their own internal expertise for assessment. You know, to that point around mm-hmm. you see someone, you've got a first impression. How do you get your biases to leave the room? How do you zone in only to hear for evidence? What is it that you can take as being evidence, and what is would do if I could? Not codable. I'm talking, you know, about the nitty gritty of what it is that we look out for in the work that we do. I think that should be another conversation for another time.
That sounds like I could talk for hours. So yeah, very much up for that. And because I think it's important, because you know, lots of people do interviews, and I'm not sure, you know, with the best will in the world, everyone does it to the extent that we could. So yeah, very much up for having a fuller conversation on that.
Thank you. I would really look like that, because I think that you don't know what you don't know. And in a lot of cases, if you are running interviews and assessments in your business, just getting that additional lens of how you approach it and what you're looking for can make a significant difference to the success of you saying yes or maybe with respect to anyone that you're hiring or investing in from a development standpoint.
Yes.
Thank you very much for your time. Before you leave, maybe one last word from you. Top tip to an individual. So say now you're sitting there, you're internally going to be put forward for an assessment for development. This is your opportunity to learn a bit more about yourself. I'm often asked, how do I prepare for this? But what's your top tip to anyone who's about to get involved in this wonderful space?
What I say to people is, do have a think about this in terms of preparing, but you can't second guess what the questions will be or where you'll go. But what I advise is, think about you at your best and sort of relive that in your brain, and that taps into things that you're motivated by when you felt great. So you're going to come alive in an interview, right, aren't you? And that will give great data for people to really know what gets you going, inspires you, sees you'll be able to show your strengths to someone, which is great. That's a really fun interview, isn't it? And I think you can't over prepare. Good interviewers will know if you're sort of, reading off a script perhaps, and that's when we'll go into the sort of different interviewing techniques that seek to avoid that, and not just tell me about a time you've led a team. Well, the time I led a team was this, it's that just doesn't give us enough, because that can be easily prepared. So you at your best, think of you at your best and prepare your thoughts for evidence and stories that talk to that, would be my top tip. And enjoy it, because please enjoy it. It's so much more fun. You can't, don't fake anything. You can't fake anything. So just be you, because that's what's going to make you happy, right? Is a fair assessment of you, because we don't want to get fake you into a role that isn't going to light your fire.
100%. And I think that tip that you're sharing also means that, a lot of us can feel a bit nervous about going through a process like this. You might not have ever experienced anything like this. When we're coming from a place from our best self, that space of energy and positivity, like you explain, we feel our most confident. And so that in itself can also be a great way to, I was just thinking as you were talking, yes, because I'll feel more confident about sharing those moments where I was, doing my best work. Yeah. Liz, thank you so much. It's been an absolute delight. I feel like as if I have heard so many fantastic ways that organizations can incorporate assessment, but not just in that technical space, through the stories that you've shared. Really appreciate your time and being with us today.
Thanks. Felt a very easy conversation. I really enjoyed sharing some of the stories. If there's a bit of knowledge in there, hope it's useful for the listeners.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Newland Rock Leadership Effectiveness Podcast with me, your host, Kate Thomas. If you would like more information on how I can help you or your organization maximize your talent and leadership effectiveness strategies, then reach out to me through my website, newlandrock.com.